get wired up.
Turn in your Bible to John 10, please. I've just one verse to leave with you tonight. I believe it's a verse of my testimony anyway. It's John chapter 10 and verse 10, but before we come to read it, I'd just like to thank your minister and your session for inviting me here tonight to give a word of testimony. It's a great privilege and an honour to be here, and I don't say that lightly, because I thank God for his wonderful grace and wonderful love towards me, in that while I was yet in my sin, he died for me. We'll just read this wee verse now in John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Just have a wee word of prayer, please. Almighty God and our most gracious Heavenly Father, praise and thanking you for your presence here thus far. Thanking you for help given in the singing, Lord. And we just come to thee now, Father God, as I come, Father God, I come in my weakness to thee, praising and thanking thee, knowing, Lord, in my weakness is thy strength, Lord. And we look now, Father God, as I undertake that you will undertake for me in this meeting. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, that little verse sums up my testimony. So it does. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I was born into a family of two, me and the younger brother, in Ballymena in the early 60s. My mum and dad, they sent us to Sunday school up the road to a wee church up the road. But I can never ever remember being told that I needed to be saved. Never ever remember learning verses of scripture or anything like that. But through speaking to my mum, she says she did. She sent us to a wee gospel hall up the road. And well, I honestly don't remember any of it at all. So I don't at that age. Well, as I went on through life, and the Bible says in Psalm 51, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And as I went on in my life at the age of 12, 13, I started to smoke and started to drink. So I did, but at the age of 13 years old, I joined a band in Ballymena. So I did. It was called the BYD, Ballymena Young Defenders. I was in that band for about 3 weeks. So I was, and that's the first time I met a fella called Rodney Bammer. Why I mention Rodney's name later on in my testimony, you'll find out. But as Rodney and them would give me a flute and give me tunes to learn, and I remember one of the tunes was the US Marines. And I mind one night sitting in the house, and my mum's dad here must have the earplugs in, but I was trying to learn this tune, and a knock came in the door, and it was Rodney and Bertie Ross, and them boys standing at the door, and he says, give us the flute back, we're just abandoning the band, you know. And that just took I couldn't believe this here. But later on, about 4 or 5 months later, a cousin, he started up a band in Ballykeel, and it was called Ballykeel Loyal Sons of Ulster. So I joined that band, and when I was about 14 years old, so I did, and that was my life. So it was at that time. I says, right, this is it. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Also says in Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And I can honestly say at that age, I didn't want to know nothing about God. I just wanted to go out with this band, and it got me out at the weekends and a Friday night and a Saturday night. And my mum and dad were letting me go out. Little did they know what I was doing in the band at that time. For 2 years we practiced up in an orange hall, and as we practiced the UVF, we're hearing the meetings in behind, and we all knew this here. And as we went on in life and things went on, the band got out onto the road. I'm not saying nothing about bands or anything like that there. I'm saying what goes along with the bands. So it was, the drink started to come in, you know. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, I didn't know these verses when I was a young lad. I had no thought of heaven and no thought of hell, but I'm on my merry way. I mind one time the band going down the moat road in Harrywell, and there was Christians there, and they were giving out gospel tracts. And I mind we were walking down, and there was a man started to shout, "We are the Romans, you are the Christians." You know, to my shame, I was singing those songs. If anybody would reach me a gospel tract, I'd have screwed it up and threw them back in their face. So I kind of, an ignorant man I had been, I mind the Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymena protesting at the swimming pool and protesting down at the sports pool. We'd have been there just a taunting. And that's the truth. That's the way I live my life. At the age of 16, 17, things started to get worse. It was coming into the Anglo-Irish Agreement. And at that time, we were out nearly every night of the week with these bands. So we were, and to our shame, what we were doing, we thought we were Protestants. Little did I know, once I got saved, I knew what a Protestant was. I thought a Protestant was somebody that hated Catholics. I thought a Protestant was somebody that fought with the police. So I did, but the Bible says in John 8 and 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant or a bondslave of sin." And I can honestly say I was a bondslave. I couldn't, in my own life, even at that tender age and at that young age, not knowing what we were doing, we thought we were big men. Thought we were hard men running about doing this and doing that, thinking we were doing things for our country. But by the grace of God, God led us on, and at the age of 18, 19 years old, was first time the police ever came through my mother and father's door. 5:30 in the morning. Come in through the door and up the stairs and shouted, "We're here for one of your sons." And my mum and dad got my wee brother up, woke him and says, "The police are here for you." And they said, "No, we're not here for him, we're here for the Harmon." You know, I mind Thomas Martin testifying, he says, when he was going down the stairs, he looked back. I looked back too. My mum and dad were over the banister crying. And mine were looking up to them and saying, "Don't worry, I'll be home." You know, little did I know I would end up in the Crumlin Road at that time on charges relating to about 15 years in jail if I had been found guilty of these charges. We were out one night, we were the first band ever to be stopped from going to a band parade in Down Patrick. We went back to a hockle. So we did, and we were told there to go back into the police station and not let the police stop me, and we didn't let them stop us that night. Two policemen got seriously injured. You know, but I went on in my sin and didn't care. And more trouble come in with the bands. And Isaiah 59 and 2 says, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And even through this year, nobody ever, ever came to me and talked to me about God and Ballymena. I went on. I got married when I was 21. I got divorced when I was 28. So I had three children out of that marriage. So I have, and through the drink and the drugs, what I took, at the age of 19, 20 to 21, I was loose nothing down around in the town. So I had, wherever it was going, we were in it. So we were, but going on was, for my life, it was mostly drink, alcohol. And we started off at a tender age of 12 years old. I had started off with a tin of beer and a bottle of cider. As I went on in my drinking career and my sin, you know, I'll tell you, a weekend, I used to come home from work on a Friday night and buy a 40-pound carry out. So I went down to the mates and I'd have drunk a 10-glass bottle of vodka between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. I would have eaten 3 darts in a pub. And I drunk 60 or 70 pounds worth of vodka then, and I went home. So I would have, and I would have had the 40 pound curry, and I was sat and drunk it. And that was Friday night, Saturday night. I moved into Sundays, to my shame. Moved into Mondays. And at this time, there was a mate of mine, and he was selling drink, and he says to me, "Would you?" And to my shame, you know, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that sell their neighbour drink." You know, when I found that verse in the Bible, I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord to forgive me. For I was selling drink around Ballymena to 13, 12 year old. Whoever came to the door got it. So they did. You know, as I went on again, My children were coming in at the weekend. I'm a weekend dad. That's what I am, because of my sin. I get my boys. I'm going to get one now. I get my boys at the weekend. So I do on a Friday night. Had to go to court to get them. So I did, but even then, the children were coming in and I was still drinking away. So I hated waking up in the mornings. So I did, because I used to wake up in the mornings and I wouldn't even open my eyes. I would just close my hands. For I knew right if I'd have squeezed my hands were broken. I was fighting the night before and the police were coming to the door. You know, I hate it now. I hate it with a passion. How that drink wrecks and ruins lives. But the Bible says in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, this man, Rodney Bammer, had got saved. Rodney was in and out of jail all his life. Say he was. He was in more times than he was out. And Rodney got saved. And Rodney was a painter, and I was a painter myself. And I started to work with Rodney. And I paid thousands of pounds to put a smile on my face. You know, when Rodney would have come in on a Monday morning and he had a big smile on his face. And I used to say to myself, I paid hundreds of pounds this weekend trying to get that smile. And I couldn't get it. And he kept talking to me about the Bible. He was learning me verses and I was saying them and he was saying them to me. You know how that verse is so applicable. The thief cometh but not to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I can tell you at the age of 32 years old, my life was destroyed. I started off, I'd married. So I had a house, had a home, had a car. You know, at the age of 32, I was in a flat in Ballycaden, no wallpaper, no paint in the walls, and as a painter, I had a double bed and a 28-inch TV. When I think back, how I lived for the devil, and how he stole everything, and I mean everything off me. I remember coming in one night and lying down and saying, is this it? And I wanted to turn the TV on and I was just a pure ignorant man. And I seen the puff of smoke coming out of the TV and I lifted the TV and I threw out the window. And I was these stories help. So it was. And I had to get down the next morning and clean all that up in front of everybody. You know, the devil will take you and he'll make you do things that you don't want to do. But Rodney kept talking to me about the Lord. And Rodney was in a band, Tam Laverty and Stephen Wright. And these boys would get saved. There was about 10 got saved out of the band at a time. So there was over a period of about 7-8 months. And these boys were walking around Ballymena with scripture vests on, giving out tracts and telling people that they needed to be saved. Telling people that they were going to hell. I mind the going into the pubs in Ballymena. I mind the barman standing and saying, I wish that mission would get out of Ballymena for it's taking my clients out of my pub. I mind him saying that. I mind boys coming in and sitting in the corner and talking about God. And I mind going into him and saying, well, geez, wise up. You're in here, you're in a pub, and you're sitting here talking about God. You're doing my head in. But I just went on in my life, and I mind the wee verses as Rodney would speak of them in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, at that time I was living with a girl. So I was, and Rodney was coming in and he was giving us wee tricks. And Diane, I don't know, she's my wife now. Diane would always have said to me, Ryan, why did you do that thing? Why did you do them things? I says, I don't need a reason to do anything. I says, I do them because I do them. And that's the way I live my life. If somebody had been down the town, I wouldn't even have given them a sip. I thought they were going to hit me, but I hit them. So I would have. Because I learned early on in life, if you hit first, they don't really get up. So they don't. And that's the way I live my life. But I was talking to Rodney, and Rodney was talking to me, and it was that smile. I thank God for Rodney Bammer, because he preached to me 7 days a week. He preached to me when he was working to me 5 days a week. 8 hours a day, and he did. Every time we sat down for lunch or dinner, Rodney had the Bible out. He was reading it. He was telling me what he was getting out of it. He was coming in on a Monday, or if I was even in the Monday, I usually never meet a Monday, and on a Tuesday, Rodney had been telling me all about what God was speaking to him and what services and where he was. And I started thinking these things. Rodney asked me to go to a wee mission And I says I would, but there were 6 other boys supposed to go too, but they never went. But as I was going out the door, my phone rang and it was Diane. And Diane says, "Are you going to that mission tonight?" And I says, "I am." I says, "I'm going with these. Nobody else is going. I'm going. I'm going." She says, "Well, I'll go with you." See, if you're in a meeting tonight and you're sitting there and you don't know what anybody's going. I sat in that meeting that night and didn't know. But before I ended that meeting, Rodney had always said to me, he says, "Man, you ask the Lord to speak to you." And I didn't know I was under conviction at this time. But Rodney did. Say that. And then I ended up meeting that night and I says, "God," I didn't get down my hands and knees, I didn't do a big prayer. And I just, in my own mind, I just said, "Lord, speak to me. If you're going to save me, you save me tonight." Well, I went into the meeting and I came out of the meeting, the same person, the sinner. I came out of that meeting thinking God didn't want me because God didn't save me. So he didn't. And I was going with Diane, we'd be 18 months, and everything was going hunky dory. I was saying, "Right, I'm going to have to wise up, and I'm going to lose an arm, and I'm going to have to sit and do these things, you know." But the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3 and 5, "Not of works of righteousness that we have done." I was giving myself a pat on the back. But from that night to the night I got saved, I was in October, and I got saved on the 4th of April 1999. And I can honestly say, my life was a total torment. Me and Diane started to argue, started to fight. We were going out. There was fights. It was just unbelievable. And on the 14th of February, Valentine's night, we had partied all night. And the ones were drinking in the house. And it was about 7:30 in the morning. We went to bed. So it was. And I just blew up. The whole thing just blew up. And I says, "Right, that's it. I didn't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live this life. I don't want to live this life no more." You know, the Bible says in Matthew 9 and 19 and 26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Well, I can honestly tell you, from the 14th of February to the 4th of April, every night of the week I used to go home to that flat. And I used to lie in that flat, full drunk, and lie and look at the ceiling and just say, "Lord, save me." I used to go up in the morning and walk down the stairs and open the doors and look out, and it was all the same. And I says, "No, he's never done it to me. Tell you, never." Well, things went on and things got worse. And well, me and Dan started to talk again. And went out one night for a drink and a meal to be reconciled. So we did, and things got out of hand again. And not with her, but with other ones in the pub. And mine got up that Saturday morning and saying, "Right, that's it, I need to get saved." That's what I said. I got up that morning and I said, "I need to get saved." And I knew that morning I needed to get saved. And I walked down the bridge at Ballycailin and over onto the dual carriageway, and there's a grass thing in the dual carriageway. When I was walking down, I was thinking about my life. I was thinking about my mum, my dad, my sons, everything. I had nothing. My mum's hair had fell out with worry. Every weekend, with the police coming to the door, where was I lying at? Who would I have been with? What shape I was coming in? My dad, he had just, his head was nearly away. He was a mind break the first day time he came into the Crumlin Road. My dad was a straight A student, and I had him in courts all over Northern Ireland, fighting the policemen, fighting the Roman Catholics. And I mind him walking in through the Crumlin Road and sitting down at that table. I just looked at him in my face and just cried. I just said, "Sorry, Dad. I could do no other." But it didn't change me. I didn't care. I went on out and done the same things. Things again. But the Bible says in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I stand on that green island. I just says, "Look, if you were out of here, there'd be no more bother." And I'm in the car coming down. And I'm standing there and I says, "Right, just step out and it's all over." And as I want to put my leg out, a wee voice came into my head. And just said to me, it wasn't an audible voice, it was a thought. Just, "Are you not a better man than this?" And I put my foot in. I went out that day. So I did. And I had £150 worth, I had £150 in my pocket. So I went out and I got drunk. I was standing in the pub in Ballymena about 10:30 at night. The cousin was standing in the bar with me. A whole lot of other ones, a couple of cousins. He was standing there telling me what it was like, who it was. It was a slabber. I was a scum. I knew all that. Nobody had to tell me them things. And he was standing drinking and I said, who are you to tell anybody? That's the way I looked at it. Who are you to tell anybody? I had a fucking coke in my hand and I said to myself, I'm going to drink this, boy. And see, when I drink, I'm going to turn around and bar the head clean off you. Because I had enough of them. I mind taking the vodka and coke and drinking it and I set it on the table and I said, that noise hit the table and that voice came back into my head again. Are you not a better man than this? You know, you're here in a meeting tonight and if a friend has brought you, it's the best friend you'll ever have. So he is. Because God had to come in a dirty, rotten, stinking pub and speak to me, and that breaks my heart. That the God of heaven, who is pure, who is holy, even had the grace to come into a dirty, stinking pub and speak to me. When I came out of that pub that night, and thank God I've never been in a pub or never had a drink over my mouth since that night, I walked to Rodney's house about 4 miles up the road. He was up at the Martyrs that night, and I knocked his door, and I mind him coming up to the glass, protesting, the glass thing on his door. And he opened the door, and I just burst into tears. And I just said, Rodney, can you take me out of this life? Because I can't live like this no more. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Rodney took me in, took me upstairs. And he says, do you want a minister? I said, Rodney, I need somebody. I can't live like this no more. Rodney took me in, and Mr. Mallon from Ralston came in. I never met the man before in my life. He came in. Say that, didn't he? He talked to me to the early hours of the morning. And he's taken me over verses in the Bible. Say he was, and I kept putting up excuses. I can't read. I couldn't read. So I couldn't learn to read reading the Bible. So I did. He kept sending me, but he came to a verse in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. You know, and he explained that wee verse to me. I know it's for the church and he knew it. He says, but Brian, who's standing at your heart's door tonight? You know, and I kept putting it off and he says, look, do you want to be saved? And I says, I do. He says, who's standing at your heart's door tonight? You know, and I mind those words, I was in tears. I said, Jesus. You know, that was the first time I said that name without a curse word. And he says, do you want to be saved? I says, I do. And I had about 150, I woke up the next morning with 45p in my pocket. And I simply got down at the edge of bed in Drumtara. And I asked the Lord into my heart. I don't know what I prayed. I was full drunk. But I know to whom I did pray to. So I did. I simply got down. I got up on the edge of the bed. I mean, sitting there thinking, right, when's it going to happen? You ever see that film, The Highlander, when the boy gets the head cut off, this stuff comes in? And that's honest, that's what I thought. I thought that's what it was like. It's going to be like a big electric shock coming into you, getting saved. And wee David Laverty was sitting and he looked at me and I looked at him and he says, what are you doing? And I says, David, I'm waiting on it. He says, Ryan, it's by faith. He says, did you ask the Lord into your heart? I says, I did. He says, he's there. You know, the Bible says in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, I simply got down on the 4th of April 1999 and I asked the Lord into my heart. Little did I know, the next night, in my flat, that Diane, wee Tom Laverty, pointed Diane to the Lord. Mr. Mullen said that night, before I got saved, that was one of my reasons not to get saved. Oh, I can't stay with Diane. You know, Mr. Mullen says, Ryan, if God wants Diane, God will take Diane. You know, I didn't know that was going to happen, so I didn't. But that made it personal to me. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you have excuses upon excuses, they're from the devil. They're not from the Lord. You know, the Lord says that I come and that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It wasn't long after that, we were in the house one night, and a knock came in the door. It was one of our mates, one of the people I drank with, drunk in their house. And he came running up, and he says, "Can you help me?" I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Come down." He says, "Judges." So an old mate of mine is in a bad way, and I went down in. There's a wee fella sitting on the stairs. He turned around to me and he says to me, he says, "I'm a heroin addict. Can you help me?" You know, I hadn't a scooby, I hadn't a clue. I hadn't a clue what they say to him, I hadn't a clue what they do. And me and Diane got down, and we got down to prayer that God was saying somebody to help our mates. People we were drinking with were heroin addicts. We always wondered why they came into our house and were lying, sleeping all the time. I thought they just couldn't drink. Little did I know at that time that's what they were doing. They knew that I didn't like drugs. So they did, and they knew if they were on drugs, I'd have hit them. That's what I'd have done. I took a baseball bat to them, matter of fact, and took them out the door. So what a... But we got down to prayer. One night we were sitting in Rollinstown, and Chris Callan came in, and he gave his testimony. You know, and I nudged Diane, Diane nudged me. So he did, and I says, "That's the man we're looking for." Well, Chris came down and spoke to them young boys. There's not one of them after the day, and that was 7 years ago. So there's not. You might be here in the meeting tonight and you're meddling with drugs. I spoke to a young boy who took an E one night. Said that up in Hollywell, in Ballymena, about 5 years ago. You know, that young boy run for 3 days with a Grim Reaper on his shoulder. And I got him away, jumped out a three-story building, out the window, and landed in the grass. You know, people think that heroin and all these other things are bad drugs. They're bad drugs. They are bad drugs. So they are. You take the alcohol. Rodney and myself, and well, Chris now, we work with ones with alcohol too, so we would. And I talked to about maybe 80 or 90 heroin addicts. So there was about 11 or 12 boys in drink. You know, there's only 2 died in the heroin addicts. There's only about 3 left with a drink. You know, people think, "Oh, drugs, drugs. See, drink. I hate it. Drink ruins lives." You read the book of Esther. I've been reading it this week. Where Esther, where Ahasuerus and Fasta, what happened? Their marriage through drink. You know, drink is a curse in this land. So it is. It's a curse in families. Cursing young children. So it is. But I'll finish off this wee verse in Song of Solomon. If you're in here, not saved, maybe you didn't live the life I lived. I lived a wicked and immoral life. Maybe you're in here tonight and you've lived a good life. God has been good. He's been gracious. He hasn't let you go as far as he let some of us. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and if you're not saved, you're going to hell. That's what I can say from God's word. The authority of God's word, that's where you're going. And if you're going, if you're saved tonight, you're going to heaven. It's going to be wonderful. I love my Lord. I love my Savior. So I do. And so, Song of Solomon, verse 5 and verse 16, it's a beautiful verse, and it says, "His mouth, it's most sweet." And the Lord's mouth, this little book, the Bible. "Yea, he is altogether lovely. He is my beloved. And this is my friend." And I can honestly tell you, I can stand here tonight because of the grace of God. I tried it for so many years to get off the drink, to get off the drugs, to get off whatever I was on. I have many a story. I'm not going into it tonight because I'm giving God the glory. But he is my friend. And that is one thing tonight. You'll never ever be alone when you have the Lord. Amen.
Let's unite together, please, at the throne of grace in prayer. Thank God for the message tonight. Let's every head bowed and every eye closed. And we believe that God has been speaking to hearts tonight. And God has been speaking to you. You need to be saved. Maybe you haven't lived the life that Ryan lived. Maybe you have. For whatever place you're in, you need the Saviour. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of how the Lord said that if we come to Him, He said that He is the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's pastures abundant. The Lord provides for those that know Him. But you need to be saved. You need to come to Him if you're going to know eternal life, if you're going to know forgiveness of sins, if you're ever going to know heaven, you need to come to Him. Why not come tonight? Why not put your trust in Him tonight? Why not seek the Lord tonight? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and as we come to the end of the meeting, as we pray, and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts. We thank Thee for saving our brother here. We thank Thee for lifting him out of the life of drink and drugs. We thank Thee for what Thou dost do for his soul. And we bless Thee that he's saved for all eternity. And we thank Thee, Lord, that what Thou hast done for him, Thou canst do for others that are in this meeting. And we pray that Thou wouldst draw them to Thyself tonight, that Thou wouldst give them the grace to turn to Thee and seek Thee as their own and personal Saviour. Lord, have mercy tonight. Speak through Thy word and bless each and every one that they might call upon the Lord and ask Thee into their heart as their Saviour. Bless Thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen.